Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticators Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
Katie Pills.
Ryan Pills.
Chantal Dew.
And Jonah Dew.
In the house! Woohoo! We just got done playing some live cartographers on Facebook. I did not win.
Should we have said in the houses instead of in
houses?
The house?
Possibly, quite possibly. Got everybody representing from different studios tonight. I'm pretty impressed by the sound of our audio so far. Hopefully that will hold true through the whole course of the recording, because podcasting issues earlier were a little crazy.
Yeah, you're right, Will. Cartographers was a lot of fun. I didn't like doing it in separate houses, but it was serviceable.
It was. And hopefully the people who played along enjoyed it. We had a couple who tagged in to play with us, which was a lot of fun. Glad that we were able to have a substitute game night. Typically, we'd be at the Heddle this week enjoying some early goat coffee and the warehouse of the Good Game Company. But instead, we made, you know, some lemonade. I think we made some good lemonade tonight. What'd you guys think? Jonah Chantel, this is your first time playing Cartographers. We kind of just threw you into it feet first, head first, all the firsts. Would you give us your thoughts, the rundown?
Well, for somebody who is color-oriented, I definitely messed up my purple and my blues. So when that monster got through in and I was supposed to use purple, I already had a purple on my board. So I had to use a different color. Definitely did not follow along with what I was supposed to be doing half the time.
The important aspect. So Cartographers is a reveal and write. Is that what we call it? You got some cards, you reveal.
Flip and fill.
Flip and fill. Got different cards that are going to score each round, and you're going to be drawing different things like houses and orchards and waves onto your board. Jonah, you beat me.
Barely. I don't know how. As soon as I realized you could flip and twist and turn the different shapes to
Tetris
fit your board,
action.
I realized I wasn't going to win. As soon as, okay, it works like Tetris. Yeah, I won't be winning this. But no, it was fun. I liked it. I am a big fan of Tiny Towns, and it felt Tiny Towns-esque because you have to use that shape and pick from the different terrains or whatever to fill in the board.
Stuck with whatever comes out.
Yeah, you kind of get stuck and try to make it work. I also saw, I think, Katie's board. She flipped her board kind of early and showed kind of where she put a couple things, and that's when I also realized, oh, okay, I'll definitely be in last when this game's over. But it was fun. It was fun, and thankfully I wasn't last. I did come in, like, second to last. So.
No, I think you beat me, so third to last.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Correct. I came in last, and I was the one in the beginning that was like, oh, this is Tetris. I got this.
Oh, no.
I do have to say, you did step out to help Jay, so... You know,
the
being
like
the distracted, being distracted mom playing games is very
well.
Difficult.
It's also a little bit like Dr. Mario, where you know people are throwing things that you don't want onto your board. You know, like those pills.
Oh yeah. Didn't even realize that.
So I like it.
That's actually one of my favorite parts about that game is that other people are interacting with your board, which can totally change everything you are doing. And you guys haven't experienced this yet, but you do change those scoring cards. So each round, your scoring mechanisms are totally different in a totally different order. And there's, a lot of replayability on this one because you've got so many varieties of techniques that you're going to have to use when you play the game.
Yep, and we did play, if you watched and played along and you didn't have somebody with you to play at your table, you can play the solo rules, which has a different variant for adding the ambush card monsters to your map. And so if you go back, you can still play along with us because you can play with the solo rules.
Have you guys got any other games to the table? I know that Sarah and I have played a couple and gotten a couple reviewed. We've talked about them on recent episodes. What's some of the stuff you guys have been playing?
Well, Kevin and I did another exit game. So I think on last episode, we talked about playing the Haunted Roller Coaster, which is a level 2, which we thought was pretty easy. And we played another level 2 called the Stormy Flight. And Kevin and I both agree that this one was a lot harder than the other one. So the Haunted Roller Coaster, we would say, is a level 1. Mm-hmm. And the Stormy Flight is a level 2.
Yeah, because we've played levels 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I really think Stormy Flight is definitely harder than the Haunted Roller Coaster, like Melissa was saying, but not as hard as a level 3. So.
And I would say the difficulty of this one came because it had more physical things that you needed to do. So one of them, we knew exactly what we were supposed to do. We just couldn't get the components to work the correct way.
Mm. Right. I think y'all mentioned that last time, is that you thought that the Haunted Roller Coaster was, as you said, an introductory one and probably should have been classified as level 1.
So. Yeah, maybe they just accidentally filled in a white dot, too many white dots on the board, on the box.
I can see the temptation as a publisher to not want to like make it look too easy. So be like, oh, we're not even going to put a 1 ever. I don't know. Just makes sense.
But they have a dot available for a level 1. I think they should have used it. Anyway, so we do, I just found out, have a 4.5 box exit, 4.5 dots out of 5, which we haven't pulled out yet. So I am kind of concerned about that one, since the level 4 one that I played in the past with the Forbidden Castle or something like that was very difficult. So this one's the Catacombs. So maybe we'll talk about that in a future episode.
Ooh. Do you guys typically play just you and Melissa, or do you have other people join in? And does that help or hurt in most cases?
We usually try to play them with 4 people. I think more than 4 would be too many for the components, because there's a booklet you're passing around. But that does give a few more points of view and people who might be good at different things and look at the puzzles different ways.
Although 3 is a pretty sweet spot too. So,
Chantel and Jonah, you guys said you played what?
We did Codenames Duet.
Oh, yeah? That's right. I think we passed that off to you guys last week, right?
Sure
yeah.
did.
Yeah? How'd you like it?
It was... I really liked it. I'm a huge fan of Codenames. So when we were able to play it together, just the both of us...
Yeah. I thought it was harder. Is it harder? I thought it was harder.
It's definitely harder.
Yeah, okay. Yes, okay, harder. So I was about to say, somebody back me up. Okay, yeah, definitely harder, because the turn, you have a certain number of turns, but if you miss the guesses, you lose the turns, right?
Right.
So it was harder. We definitely lost twice before we won one.
The very first one?
The very first two. Ooh, we lost for right. sure.
Yeah. How far in the campaign? Because it's kind of a campaign style game. Yep. How far did you go?
We only did one.
Okay.
We only did one. It was hard. and I'm saying this as being someone who's good at Codenames. Like, right. pick me on your team. I am good at this game. But Duet was a little tough.
I do think it's the perfect game for syncing, like, your couple minds together.
Yeah, Will and I don't ever sync at all. So this never makes it to the table for us. We like playing Codenames as a big group, though.
Regular, yep, yep.
Yeah, no, we thought we were... Usually he's really good at, I guess, like you guys said, syncing your minds together. And it was just not happening. And I'm like, how can you not put these two together? It was so obvious. This is what I meant.
Have you guys played Medium yet?
We have not played Medium.
Oh, well, I don't
know what we'll have to do that with you.
Do it next week.
Yeah. That one's fun to, because that, I feel like that one's even less to go on than Codenames. I feel like it's just so random.
You guys got to give me games that I can win.
Right.
You guys got me feeling like a failure.
Oh, no. We're trying to build. This is a growing period. You got to synchronize the mind. Did you guys say you also played Vikings on Board? What else?
We did. We're on this kick where we're playing games that we own.
Right. Good
that
idea.
Are unopened.
Right. Good. So the shelf of shame.
Yep. So Vikings on Board was last night. Yes. And it was funny. because we played it just with us two, Chantel and I. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, if you've played it before, right? So you have these ships that need to set sail, and you have different colors that represent the shields, and you each pick a color, whatever. So I realized really early that you only had a certain number of colors.
Right.
I don't think Chantel picked it up as early as I did. So she put, like, all of her colors on, like, the first ship. And sent it off, and I was like, you're going to lose.
Yeah, I got the game in the bag.
Right. So we played that last night. That was a good time.
That's cool.
Enjoyed it.
So Will and I played Stop Thief this weekend. And we decided to play cooperative mode, and then we realized one whole round in that I accidentally set the app for competitive, so we had to start over.
Best clues ever.
Yeah. So the app that goes with the game when you're playing competitive, if you have it on the standard mode in the app for difficulty, it will tell you the exact location of the thief. But you're not going to be able to do anything that turn. You're going to have to keep following for the next couple of turns so you know where to go. You can't make an arrest at the end of your turn. So if you've already moved to that spot,
close enough, right?
Yeah, you could make it there, I guess, on your turn. Cooperative mode, it only gives you the first number of the room. So if you already know, like, the thief is in the bank, then that first number, all the rooms and spaces and doors all start with whatever number. So say 3. Well, that you already know that information. So in our cooperative, it's not that helpful. Well, we played and played and played, and we got down to the last thing. We're like, okay, we only have like 2 more turns.
We have like $1,000 left.
If they rob something else, then we're done for. Well, we took a hint.
And we've been tracking him perfectly. Like, he's either here or here. He's one of these two spaces, 100%.
Yep. And we decided, oh, let's just get a tip. This one card gives us a tip. We already know what it is. And we're like, oh, he's not even in this building. We were wrong the whole time.
Whoa.
We were able to.
Yeah, the amazing thing is we still pulled it off, though.
Yeah. The last turn of the game, we ended up guessing. Like, we just had to guess. Like, it's one of these three spaces. We'll just make a guess. And we made it.
Yep. It was.
Oh, that's awesome. So great. I love the endings like that, where it's like, it's coming down to this nail biter ending. And then you're like, yes.
Yeah.
I just happened to get it right.
It was a mind blowing moment because we were like, okay, he's definitely here. Well, let's just check just for the heck of it. Let's just waste a turn. What? You guys played that one too, right?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. And it was very funny when we played, because we did competitive, and every time I would get my private tip, Jonah would just bust out laughing because I would say the same thing every time, just as I suspected. And I would put the card back because I had a general clue of where the thief was. And then as soon as I got that private tip, I was like, this was a waste of my private tip. I already knew he was there. I just needed confirmation.
I was laughing because she kept saying that, but she wasn't realizing I was laughing because it's funny for her to say that in like a hidden movement game,
right?
Just as I suspected. It was just so funny.
Too good, too good. Are we doing a review, playthrough, preview? What's that one going to be? We need to.
Yep, it'll be coming to our channel soon.
So you can do something. That'll be a fun one.
Look for a heads up for that one. That's Stop Thief from Restoration Games.
So Orion and I have been doing a lot of online RPG stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. So I have been the GM for a Pathfinder game that we've been doing with friends. But this week we took a break and we did a one-shot called We Be Goblins. And it's just kind of this crazy thing where you get to be goblins and run around and set things on fire. And it was actually really funny because a lot of the Pathfinder scenarios tend to be kind of dark or, kind of heavy themed. But this was definitely a lighthearted theme and just kind of got to run around wrecking things, which was a lot of fun.
Sounds a little bit like Munchkin, like what Munchkin would be if it was an RPG.
Yes. Well, Munchkin is based off of RPGs. That's why almost everything in there is is some sort of spoof off of like a D&D game.
Right, right. But it's like meta. Like they made fun of RPGs and then an RPG made fun of them. I don't know.
Yeah, that is kind of how it is, I guess. It was a little meta. I'll agree with that.
But Kevin Olmesa, you guys?
It was a lot of fun because normally you can't play as a goblin character.
That's true.
At least not in the first edition. The second edition Pathfinder, you can now play as a goblin. So, yep. So we've been doing a lot of that. I played a lot of King Domino recently. Ooh. I have been doing pretty well. I've been doing that online at the Board Game Arena. And I've also been playing a lot of Seven Wonders. And I found out I'm just really bad at Seven Wonders. I don't know what the problem is here. I'm like, this is like one of those classic games. And I just stink at it. I'm just like lose every time.
That so does depend on who's sitting to your left and right.
That is true. There have been many times where I can't build my wonder because my part, the two people next to me don't build any of the thing I need to buy. And I've built two and I can't find any more, but I need the three of them, you know, so I end up with, you know, almost no points and no special abilities. And so it's just sometimes it really stinks. I think they're doing it to me on purpose.
I do think online play people get really serious. Like they have their streamlined techniques and they know exactly which card they want to get. My question is, do you use a cool username that other people out there can come find you and play with you?
Yes, I'm scared to say it though, because then everybody will be like, come play Seven Wonders with me. I'm going to beat you.
If you really, really want to beat Katie at Seven Wonders, email her at katie@tantrumhouse.com.
Yeah, I'll give you my screen name.
That would be awesome. Kevin, Alyssa, did you guys get to play anything cool this week?
Well, we talked about the exit game.
You did.
Yes.
I feel like your quarantine hasn't been too effective. You need more time to play more games, Kevin. Get that shelf of shame unwrapped.
Well, we talked a lot about it. We played some prototypes that we'll talk about later.
Oh, gotcha. Oh,
okay. That makes sense. Like, it doesn't sound like you're practicing social distancing over there if you don't get to play as many board games.
That's right. Well, cool. I think it might be time for our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode, we'll be talking about six games coming to Kickstarter the week of April 6th, 2020. Kevin, go ahead and start us off.
Well, the game I was going to talk about was going to be Sea of Legends that was going to launch this week, and then I just reread my information, and it is launching in May. So I will talk to you all about Sea of Legends, a pirate narrative open world game later in a couple weeks, but Melissa and I want to talk about Asonia, which is from Lycan Studio.
And it's coming, hopefully, April 7th. This is a deck building game. Kevin and I have played this, and also Jonah and Chantel as well. You have basically like a normal deck builder. You're starting with a standard set of cards, and then you are purchasing new cards to make your deck more powerful. You have gems, which are your currency to buy new cards, but then the gems also power the actions on the cards, so you have to be careful with your resources to decide how many gems you want to spend on getting new cards and how much you want to spend on actually activating your cards. And you're trying to get to 60 influence points to win the game, and there are actions that will give you points, there are actions that will subtract points from other people, actions that let you draw more cards and do various things throughout the game.
Yeah, like some of the mechanics in the game where you can sort of what they call raise or seal cards, which is basically making the cards stay out you can use gems basically out, sort of like Splendor, where you can sort of use the gems to buy cards and stuff like that that are always out and always available. It takes a little bit of work to get them there, But that was kind of interesting. And then the other thing was some of the cards activate based on, what would you say? Like based on the cards that you have in your hand, they have like, requirements.
Yes. So maybe if you have a certain amount of a colored gem, you can activate another power on your card. Or if you have matching faction symbols, kind of like Star Realms, mm-hmm. where it can activate other things on your cards.
Yeah, Jonah and Chantel, you wanted to jump in at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I really enjoyed it. I think, first off, I kind of like deck building games, so maybe I'm biased, but I thought this one had really cool aspects, like you just mentioned, Kevin, where you can kind of seal the card so you can come back to it later. You can raise a card so it'll always be there as you still build the hand. So I thought that was really interesting. It gave you a nice ability to get rid of some of those basic cards in your hand, right? Like deck builders normally do. So you can get the better ones and get them and draw them more often. But no, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was well put together, and I'm excited. I'm excited for it to come out.
Yeah, and I would say the art was really nice in it. It's the theme is that you're in a magically altered 17th century Italy. So you kind of have a lot of lords and ladies and scheming, things like that. The game is for 1 to 4 players. It says it plays in about 30 to 40 minutes. Some of that will depend on how much attacking people do, knocking people's points
down. Or even
down.
The player count would make it a little bit longer. So
yeah. I felt like so that I was doing that the entire time to Kevin, just trying to knock him down.
It worked. It worked. That's Asonia from Lycan Studio coming this April. Over to you, Ryan.
Coming April 7th is Planet Unknown. We talked about this last week. They've
moved
their Kickstarter back a week.
That's right.
But it is the same game we talked about last week. So
go listen to that episode.
To refresh real quick, there's a Lazy Susan of planetary tiles. And whoever's the first player for the round will draw one of the two tiles from the part of the Lazy Susan that's facing him. He gets to rotate and pick the part that faces him. And then everybody else has to draw one facing them. So he kind of can hate draft for everybody else. You know, maybe he'll choose one he doesn't necessarily need as much to throw somebody else off. And then he places those orthogonally. And there are different spaces that you might want to try to cover, like ice spaces with water in order to advance the water track. And then there's some spaces you don't want to cover and some tiles you don't want to put down because if you put down a meteor, then you can't score that column or row. If you put down a tile and it covers up a life pod, then you lose that life pod, that sort of thing. So you got to try to cover as much space as you can. And whatever tile you lay down, you may be able to advance the resource tracks that reflect the two resources that are on it. And as you advance on the resource tracks, you unlock points and also different abilities. Like some let you move your rover around. Some of them let you advance on other tracks. There's just all sorts of different interplay in the game. And then ultimately at the end, you score points for how far you got on different tracks and how many columns you completely filled, how many rows you completely filled, and a few other things. And then there's also an asymmetrical part of the game where instead of everybody having equal planets, you can flip over to the asymmetrical side and each be representing a specific corporation that focuses on one of the resources. So like the water corporation or the energy corporation. And you will play a little bit differently, focusing on that one resource and neglecting the others a little bit. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, so definitely check it out. It's from Adam's Apple Games, coming April 7th. Katie, what do you got?
Oh, and I just want to say we will have a preview video for this, so look for that on our YouTube channel. So the game that I'm talking about is Rat Catcher. And just so you know, if you try to just look this up on Google, it comes up with the mousetrap game. So you have to actually look it up on BGG, which is funny. But it cracked me up. I was like, oh, wow, this is not at all like mousetrap. So this is the Rat Catcher. It is a solo adventure. So it's a single player game. It's about 30 to 45 minutes. And it is about a land where the rats have invaded and have just like taken over. And they're starting to mutate. And your role is the rat catcher. You're trying to rid your nation of these rodents. It's got a modular board that you're slowly exploring. I think you're going to be flipping over the tiles as you explore new areas. But as you do this, you have to find certain things. I think they're cheese slices. You're finding cheese slices. You're trying to lure rats to certain areas. And there are nemesis rats that are apparently some of these mutated great beast rats that you have to deal with as you're going through. But it sounds like there's also going to be different characters that you can play as. So they'll have an asymmetrical ability there. You'll have action points in which to accomplish these different things. And there's dice rolling, which I imagine comes in with some of the maybe some of the encounters with some of these rats. But anyway, so that is pretty much what's going on there. That the art on this is actually really neat. I like that it's kind of got this black and white theme going, and then it's got just like a single color thrown in on top of it. Ooh. Which is and it's got some, it's just really interesting looking art and stuff for this game. So that is Rat Catcher. It is coming April 7th. And Will, I think, Will have to be?
I do. I was actually, the whole time you were talking, I was imagining like 1990s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles art style. But
yeah,
sounds like black and white might even be cooler, so that's all right.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you should look it up. The art's really nice.
I'll look up Mousetrap. The game that I'm looking at is Excavation Earth from Mighty Boards. It's a 1-4 player. It's got a bunch of different mechanics going on. It's a game that takes place over the course of 3 rounds. You will draft a hand of multi-use cards at the beginning of the round, and then you'll be using those cards to travel around the earth and excavate things. As you excavate, you will be able to collect different artifacts and things that you can then do multiple things with. You can either do some set collection that you wait until the end of the game and then you curate a museum of artifacts, I guess, or you can sell them off to other players, it sounds like, and or you can sell them to the aliens who are coming to Earth, probably to enslave you. I don't know. So you'll be going you'll be going to the different bazaars that are around the earth and moving your characters around and excavating items. It is a 1-4 player game that takes about 30 to 120 minutes. So I don't know if that's
a
player
huge discrepancy
count.
There.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the time delay is. It's got a 3.5 weight rating on BGG, so it doesn't seem like it's too light. The artwork for the game looks fun and crazy. The alien style illustration is like kind of a mix between birds and elves, maybe? I don't even know how to describe it, but pretty cool looking illustration style. The board art looks like a lot of fun. Check that one out. Excavation Earth. Sarah, what do you got?
From Gray Fox Games is the game For Science. This was previously named another title, and they decided to change the title and bring it to Kickstarter a little bit earlier than they originally anticipated. This is from designer Eric Roos and from Gray Fox Games. It's a 1-6 player dexterity game, and it takes about 15 minutes to play. In the game, you are trying to save Earth from a viral infection. So if that sounds like anything you've heard recently, it probably is. But this is a very lighthearted, light game. In the game, it is a real-time dexterity game, and so you will be putting together cards that have specific blocks that you will have, three-dimensional blocks. Kind of think of some of the building blocks that you may have had from some of the block sets from when you were a kid. So there's like, you know, a bridge piece and a rectangle pieces, different shapes and different colors. And the cards you will lay out in a line, and they will have lines in between these different shapes. And you will have to build your cure using the shapes and touching the specific shapes that shows on the cards. So if you, you know, put too many cards together that don't fit well, you will be able to go back and redo it. But you are timed, so you'll have to make sure that you can get your cure built before the time runs out to win the game. So that is For Science from Gray Fox Games. And I think that wraps up our Kickstarter conniption.
Very cool. I have a question while we're I have a question for Will. We are recording this, you know, a little early like we normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And we are recording it before April 1st.
What?
My question is, are we launching the Table Bottomers video April 1st?
Ooh, we most definitely should. I'm not 100% sure. It might need a little tweaking for it to make sense a year out, but I should definitely pull that out and take a look.
Everyone is cool. Getting their game toppers as we speak from the Kickstarter last year, so it might be good timing.
I think we need to do that. I know we're also launching the Cowboy Bebop review video that day as well, right, Ryan and Katie?
Yep.
Right. It's not going to be a joke, though, I don't think. Maybe we'll put some jokey in there.
Oh, that's great. Well, I think it might be fun to do that video. So if you're listening to this after April 1st, go back to our YouTube channel and check out the fun video that Will and Sarah did for Game Bottomers.
LLC.
LLC. Thank you. Thank you, Will.
Get it right.
And the funny thing is, you use that table every single week.
So useful. Using it right now, actually.
Other videos that are coming out this week that you can check out are, I think Will and Sarah are doing Santa Monica that week. So check
we
that
are.
One out.
If you want to see some videos that you can play along with from home, Katie and I have both been on AEG's Facebook page doing a live there of Tiny Towns. So you can go back and play along if you have the game at your house. You can play the solo variant with us and see how well you do with the cards that we used for our games.
I'm sitting here looking at my cartographer's board the game that we played earlier today. And I just realized the last piece, if I put it somewhere else, I would have gotten 14 points instead of 4 points.
Whoa.
Oh, no.
Yeah, me too.
Melissa.
Yeah, me too.
You would it have is. Definitely won.
I am looking at it, and she is right. She could have filled in 2 columns and gotten less negative points, and it would have been amazing.
Real-time pressure. Oh, wow. That's where it's at.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize we were working on our last card either, and so I would have probably changed where I put mine, but I don't know that I would have gotten an extra 14 out of it.
I know. I felt very rushed trying to fill my board in and flip the cards.
And
yeah.
If you guys ever see me on TV, you probably won't, but there's a new show coming out. I think it's called Trivia Ninja or something like that. It's from the makers of Great American Ninja. What's that show called?
Yeah.
Anybody?
American Ninja Warrior?
Yeah, that one. American Ninja Warrior. Except in this one, it's more about being able to answer trivia while you do physical tests. They've got this thing that looks like the NASA, I don't know what it's called, gyroscope thing that you sit in and they buckle you in, and it actually like spins you around to 4 different corners of the stage, and when you get to each section of the stage, they reveal a question, and if you answer the question correctly, it flips you upside down, swings you around to the other side, and then you answer that question, and the further you go in the show, the faster it swings, and the more questions you answer, the more money you make. I definitely filled out the online application.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But
maybe
you know enough.
We'd cheer for you.
Do you know enough trivia answers?
The thing is, it's super easy. I mean, at least the examples they showed. I'm sure the million-dollar question is crazy, but it was like, just put these animals in alphabetical order. Cat, pig, dog, house, horse, something. And So then you just have to do it as fast as you can. So it's not like, in what year did President so-and-so do such-and-such? It was just to prove that you could think under pressure. And the thing that would make it funny, obviously, is really easy answers. But you just got flung upside down, almost upchucked. Now can you do it?
Very cool. Well, I think we have someone that just joined the house. Jeremy Howard, are you here?
I am here. Can you hear me?
We can.
We can.
Welcome to the house.
All right. Hey, party people. How y'all doing?
Hey, man. We are real good.
We have never done this before. While we were actually recording, have someone crash the house. We are trying something new tonight, and we are glad that you are here, Jeremy.
This seems like one of my moves anyway.
So. Right?
I like to hear myself talk a lot, so everybody knows that.
Perfect.
So,
welcome to the show.
Seems like something I would do.
Awesome. So I do have a question. If you mostly play solo games, why do you say party people?
contrary to belief, and this is funny that we people say that, I do play solo games. I do play solo games. It's kind of like my favorite thing to do, but I play with a lot of people. It's just that that's kind of my little signature phrase that I use.
I like it.
And whenever I'm at conventions, I try to play with as many people as possible and not by myself at all. I always say I'm the man of the people. So whenever you want to play with me at a convention, all you have to do is ask, and I basically say yes every time.
Perfect.
So Jeremy, tell us a little bit about yourself so that our audience can get to know you a little bit, and then we'll move on.
Okay. Very quickly, I'm a content creator. Started out as a blogger as Jambalaya Plays Games, and then I'm JambalayaPlaysGames.com, and then I kind of moved to the camera a year later after that. It was 2017, then I went to 2018. And then I started doing some promotional stuff before I was really reviewing anything seriously. It's pretty much all I did was promo stuff for a while. And then I started doing a little bit more of the video content, con covers and stuff. And then eventually, I started doing reviews and previews. And now I work with MVM, Man vs. Meeple. I do solo content, previews, and reviews soon for that channel. So, there you go.
It's cool stuff. Now, I know once in a while you've got your boy with you as well. That's one of our favorite things to do at Tantrum House, to pull our kids in. Tell us a little bit about his experiences.
So he's a little guy. He's kind of like, you know, dipping his toes in and then stepping two steps back on the board game. But that's okay. You know, like it's just like any other activity. Like, you know, they want to have success, you know, and they want to learn, but they, you know, they don't want to fail. So I've been working with him on that, and, you know, this is a perfect opportunity. We did Dad and the Dude last year during the summertime, and, of course, with the situation we're in right now, I actually got him to play yesterday, which was great on Sunday.
Perfect.
And we went through a very broken game of Aquacorn Cove, which was still fine with me. I was so worried about him, I messed all the rules up, but I love playing with him. I love playing with him because he wanted to donate his books, Aquacorn Cove books, so... I said, all right, well, let's do that, and we'll give some book away. So, yeah, that was fun. And I just love playing with them. I mean, who doesn't love playing with their children who are, you know, interested and inquisitive, you know, about board?
Yeah, it's the best world for sure. Now, one other thing that I just saw recently was your top 10 games you hate on the Dice Tower.
Oh, my God, guys. Oh, the heat is coming back.
Right? Tell us a little bit about that experience in general, and then we'll make fun of you for all the games that you hated.
Yeah, so those guys are friends of mine. We're really all tight, except I had never really met Z and kind of hung out with them. So that was great. Went down to Florida, and I did, I think, the board game breakfast. I did top 10 adventure games, which, of course, is going to be my wheelhouse because I play a lot of the solo kind of adventure dungeon games. And then the next day we did top 10 games I hate. And I'll be honest. I want to make sure everybody knows this because this is the thing. I'm always known as Mr. Positivity, always awesome. Everything's good. I show all these good games and different types of quirky games. There are games I don't like, okay? I don't hate games. I just don't like them, and I move on from them. And the funny thing about that list is I chose it simply because I wanted to let everybody know I don't like every game. And I also told Tom, I said, I wish we could change the title because I don't hate games. I actually said it during the video. I was like, I don't hate games.
Yeah.
You can't do that. And then I made fun of him because yesterday he told me that Champions of Midgard was an adventure game. So I said, if you can do that, I can do what I want.
I love it. Yeah, I thought you did an excellent job. It is tough to be on those because I'm in that same boat. Like, I don't, there's maybe like two games that I actually hate, like just don't enjoy playing. And for the most part, it is like, yeah, if you want to play and we can have a good time together, like I will jump in and have a good time.
Yeah. Like I can have a good time with you. You know, like that's the thing. If you want to have fun, I want you to have fun. Let's have some fun. I can just be the entertainment. I don't really like, I don't care if I win most of the time anyway. So, you know, that was kind of the whole idea for it. It was just kind of like a moment for me to make fun of the experience at the same time and just kind of jab at everybody else because they like that.
Right. So. Yep. There's some good almost fights. I loved it. Kevin, did you happen to see Jeremy's list?
Yeah.
Because it had Wingspan on it.
Yeah, I know Wingspan is going to hurt, though. Sorry.
Saw Wingspan on that list.
Yeah, Wingspan's going to hurt. I got a whole post about that today in the board game room. They're killing me.
I have to admit that we do pretty good not getting any hate mail. Don't get any ideas. Did you get any hate mail off of that one? Did you?
No. You know what's funny is that I felt so bad because a lot of the games that were on that list are games that you know people really, really love.
Right.
So the whole idea was I didn't do the thing of like, you know, and this is really one thing that I hope defines how I am. I really don't like to do the thing where I don't get the hype thing. Like when people say that, like, I don't get the hype behind this. I don't ever think that way. So if you want to know that, I never think that way. What I do think is like, I'm just excited about these games as you are. And it really hurts when even you have early access to something and then you play it and you're like, oh no, like I didn't love it.
Yep.
You know, and it hurts, you know, or, you know, you paid your pre-order cost like everybody else. You get it early and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want this
game. Paid so much money.
So that's kind of where I went with it. And then I thought about it. I was like, wow, all those games are popular games. who wants to hear like Terraforming Mars and Underwater Cities get put under in the
in the top 10. Yeah.
That is devastating for a lot of people.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I loved the representation in general. I thought you guys did a great job. Tom kind of picked the super mainstream or the super you've never heard of this ever games.
I know.
I felt like you hit a lot of populars, but I did think your reasoning on a lot of those was very good. Like, especially as reviewers, previewers, media makers, like so much stuff comes through our fingers. Like, it has to kind of really stand out for it to last.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise it's got to be moved on and there's just not room on the shelf for everything.
We were talking about, you know, like, that's another thing. Like the volume of stuff that comes my way from reviews and like review, like promo coverage and stuff alone. It's just like, yeah, I mean, there's so many games that like, I don't even want to show this to people. Like, I have to tell some publishers, like, I can't show this game with confidence, you know, like, and it's just difficult. Like me and Z were just saying, like, there are some games that are that bad where I don't even want to talk about them. They're that bad. And unfortunately, yeah, sometimes we have to cover games that aren't that great and we just have to have a good message about them. But like, oh my gosh, like that list could have been like, there could have been some games that like, the games I got out of the garbage, I don't know, like, just could have been bad. It could have been really bad.
Yeah.
You know, yep. I don't know. Like, it could have just been like these games that are the total throwaways. I don't know, but overall, I just don't hate cardboards, cubes, and plastic. You know, like there's actual hate and there's poor games. You know, like that's right. How I see
there's
it.
Real things in the world to hate.
Yeah, there's hate and there's board games.
So Jeremy, I know right now the world is going through some uncertain times, and you know, we're trying to spread the love of board games to not only people who already love them, but for people who may not be in the same sort of universe that we already live in. And we wanted to get you on the show and just share your passion and share anything that you wanted to talk about with our audience.
Well, what I decided was, you know, like I work for federal government while my wife works for the state, and we have very stable jobs. And I always tell people the government workers and state workers are nicely overpaid, and we have all the benefits in the world. So to me, I have. And I'm also a person that does reviews, and I also do preview coverage. And there's a plethora of games I've purchased behind me that I have to get rid of. So that means I have. And there's not a lot of people who are right now that are going to go through such a major transition. And I am, but I still have at the end of the day. And I decided to myself, like, instead of, you know, selling these games and getting out there and trying to trade and get different games, it's time to, like, that's kind of where I started. I got my first board games from donations at the Boys and Girls Club. And that's how I started gaming from a child. And I figured, like, hey, man, it's my time to make sure I get back. I did it at Christmas, a whole bunch of local places, but now I want to do it everywhere I can. And thankfully, when I decided to do this, I had a couple content creators donate stuff so they can send to specific people. And then I pulled out all my cards, man. I put all the cards out of my deck. And I asked publishers, and now I have 51 publishers. So all these people have allowed me to use some of their games to send out to people, pending they're not halfway, like all the way across the world. I can't get to some of those people. But we're going to try to get them a game. And we're really looking for not only people who just want to win some awesome games, because these are not, I mean, On Mars, Oceans, you know, Chronicles of Crime, these are not, you know, like half games or games in the storage closet. We'll give people those giveaway games, but we also have an email address set up, and I can give it to you to give it the notes and whatnot.
Yeah, definitely.
Where it's a specific email address for people who would like to share their story. And I'll be honest with you, I really want to make this clear. One of the things that this email address is about is sharing your story and being humble enough to share it and let people know that, like, you don't know if it's going to be all right. You love board games. They make you happy, but you don't know it's going to be all right. As soon as you leave the table, you don't know it's going to be all right. You know, or you lost your job and all you really have is board games, but it's having, you know, maybe you need a new board game to refresh yourself. Or maybe you are a homeschooler all of a sudden, like a lot of parents across America, and they need some stuff that's educational to play, you know, like stuff that's got some, you know, a little bit of education background in it. There's plenty of board games that do that. And there's some games that directly are education board games. So we're trying to find those games for people. And all you have to do is at least send that email, and we'll see what we can do. I may run out of games, but I'm trying to send brand new games from my collection, from the publisher, from Conti creators, and some of the ones that are used. I mean, anything. We're trying to get people games. So, yeah, fill out the contest form. Fill out the giveaway form. It's a Google form. It's real quick. You can win stuff from there. You can email me. You can follow me. That way you can see what I'm doing, because I'm just popping up everywhere, like on this podcast.
Tell us what that email address is, and then tell our audience how they can follow you to see all your great content.
Yeah, so the email address is like Jambalaya. So Jamba, PG, like point guard, and MVM for Man versus Meeple. So JambaPGMVM@gmail.com. And then you can follow me pretty much everywhere on the webs by just looking up Jambalaya Plays Games on Facebook. That will help you. At JambaPG in Twitter and IG. And then, I'm Jeremy Howard. You can probably see me. You'll see me around a lot on the Facebook groups and stuff like that, because that's kind of where I have my most activity. That's where I usually go. And I really do. I hope to be over flooded with emails. I went through quite a few this weekend. A lot of, you know, really tough stories, man. People are really hurting out here. And people were hurting before this happened. And now it's not looking up. And I hope to get board games in people's hands now before things potentially get worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I know it may not be better 2 months from now, but I would like you to be, you know, enjoying your new games, you know?
Well, we appreciate you spreading the love, and we appreciate all that you're doing for the community. And check out JambaPGMVM@gmail.com. You can email him, and you can check out Jambalaya Plays Games all over, like you said, Facebook and Instagram. And
I forgot to say Man versus Meeple. I'm with Man versus Meeple. It's just that my name recognition comes from Jambalaya Plays Games. So
sorry. Oh, I got you. Sorry. And
yeah, we love those guys.
Jeremy, before we say goodbye to you, what's one game that you've been playing that you've really been enjoying?
You know what? Yesterday I tried this game. What is this one called here? This where are you at? It is called. Oh no! Where are you at? It is the. Realm of Sand. by Emperor S4. It's a nice little tile laying puzzle game. And I love Emperor S4 games. A lot
They do some good games,
and they're really tricky puzzle type games. And it, not puzzle, but the game, you know, the gameplay is actually a puzzle. They definitely try to put some theme on games, but this one, they try. But this one is really, really neat. You might want to check this one out. I'll probably be playing it on solo Sundays in the near future.
Very cool. Will, do you want to close us out?
Yeah, man. Thanks so much for just joining us for the episode. We're glad you were able to just kind of slip in there and have some fun talking with us. Really cool sound and stuff that you got going on. That's really fantastic. We will definitely spread the word because, yeah, the more people that can get an opportunity to experience this, especially right now, it's great stuff. Definitely lifts the spirit and gives you opportunities to kind of, you know, teleport out from your daily grind and be able to do something that will kind of distract you in a great way. So we're all for that. But thank you so much, Jeremy, for joining us. And we will look forward to connecting with you hopefully at a convention or something later this year. Hopefully we'll get to a couple of those. Are you going to be at all of them if they happen? What's your normal routine?
Well, I mean, you know, Lord willing, we're okay as people, you know, at some point this year. And if we're not, that's okay. We can move forward. You know, hopefully we're all still here waking up every day. And I'll be at whatever I can. I mean, since I'm not going to these conventions, I'll have enough money tucked away.
There we go.
Yeah. Like, whoa, wait, why do I have all this extra money? Because I'm not going to Gen Con Origins. That's why.
Right. Well, maybe we can get you to sneak out to Tantrum Con next year. That'll be the to get that on the list.
You know what? I'm serious. I think I'm really going to make a point to go. You know, I was looking at your weekend, the weekend you guys had it, I think. You had it in when? February?
Yep. January, last weekend.
Okay. Because I was thinking to myself, I'm like, man, I really wanted to go because I talked to someone, I think your manager, something like that last year, and I was just like, I really want to go to this.
We would love to have you.
Yeah. Just to have some fun to flip some tables, man.
we can definitely get you on stage for that. We will work it out. All right, man. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you have a great evening. It was a blast talking to you. Have a good night.
Yeah, man. Health and wealth to you guys, and thanks for having me.
It was great having Jeremy from Jambalaya Plays Games on the show. And we're going to say goodbye now. It was great having you listening, and I hope you stay safe and well and play lots of games with your family at your house. Thank you all, and have a great week. Bye. All right, let's stop the recording, Will.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's Barry, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.